It's time now for World Watchers International with Mae Brussel, who for over 17 years has investigated and exposed political conspiracies worldwide. World Watchers International originates at KLRB, Carmel, California. Here's Mae.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. This is program number 506, and it's August the 16th, 1981. I cut out my newspapers and articles regularly and have about 140 of the top stories of the week, each week, and never have enough time to share them. And I'm going to run through maybe a story every 2 minutes or so of some items that are going on in the news so we don't overlook them and update you for the next 2 weeks on some of the articles that I think are the most interesting in the news. I did get a letter this week from a listener in Santa Cruz. And he wrote, "Dear Mae, as a new listener to World Watchers International, I find it hard to believe there are as many tangled webs of conspiracy as you claim. Please send me what information you have or can send on the news sources so that I can read and judge for myself. One of the reasons I have the tape cassettes that go out every week and the printed sheets that accompany the cassettes is for people to study exactly what I am saying. I don't have any secret sources of information, and if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope, say once a month, and 25 cents for each week program, as many listeners do, send a dollar when there's 4 weeks in the month, and a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll enclose the source of information for the past 4 weeks. That's easier than doing every week. Most people don't keep it up every week, or you can do it every 2 months, and then send two stamps because, of course, the package is heavier and requires more postage. If you want the sources of information for the program, write to me, Box 22511, Carmel 93922, and for every week that you want the sources of the information, enclose 25 cents. And if you want some of the cassettes, I'll send you a list, and you can order the back programs if it interests you." In the same mail as the party who can't believe the interlocking conspiracies, I got a letter from Henderson. This is North Carolina. "Dear Mae, your interview for Aries Research, the one I did on John Lennon that I told about on this program, was great. The most in-depth exploration of the Lennon assassination which I've seen. Your information confirms research we have conducted, which suggests that both Mark David Chapman and John Hinckley Jr. were programmed assassins to kill John Lennon and attempt to kill President Reagan. Spiral, which is their organization newsletter called the Society for the Protection of Individual Rights and Liberties, is developing a national and international network of independent researchers and investigators. We are laying the foundation for widespread local newspaper and radio news releases called APR, Awareness Press Release. I'm putting your name on our complimentary mailing list, and if you wish to share information with us, this would be appreciated." And in the editions that they've gotten out on Spiral, they sent those to me, the Society for the Protection of Individual Rights and Liberties. They have information on electronic banking, on the computerized world of handling your money, on the conspiracy to shoot President Reagan, and a section about the possible relationship of the shooting of Ronald Reagan to the murders of the Atlanta school children. I've had that on the program before. Spiral is a group, as I say, inter-organization communication group, ever vigilant, and they have a newsletter, and they sent me a lot of literature. I'll pass on some of it to you on later programs so you can see the work that's coming out of North Carolina, and I got a letter from them there and appreciate that information. So while it's very confusing to new listeners to get the lingo or the pace, this goes pretty fast, you can always go back and get tape cassettes and share them with your friends and get the sources of information and begin to look them up yourself. There was a big story this week, of course, all over national television and the news media. Associated Press, "Don't let Sirhan out," the district attorney in Los Angeles advised. They put a person in a prison cell with him, a man named Eugene Wilson. And Sirhan, the man who has been charged with shooting and killing Robert Kennedy, soon to be paroled or would be paroled in 1984, They're pleading that the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office and so forth, we can't let him out. Write to Governor Brown. If he were out, he would attempt to shoot Ted Kennedy, and he had his attorney, Grant Cooper, on the list as an enemy, and Robert Kaiser, the author who wrote RFK Must Die. Well, that's a good hit list. Sirhan Sirhan is a person who I believe was mentally programmed. He was a mind-control zombie. He was in the Ambassador Hotel. There isn't any ballistic proof that any of his bullets were the ones that got into the body of Robert Kennedy. Those came from behind. And if you're going to write letters, the district attorney in Los Angeles wants you to write the governor and get hysterical and say, don't let Sirhan out. I'd appreciate if you'd write to the governor and ask him about the role of Thane Caesar, T-H-A-N-E-C-E-S-A-R, a security guard from Lockheed who allegedly did the fatal headshot to Robert Kennedy and the two shots in the back. He was a security guard who pulled a gun from behind. He fell down and shot upward, and that's the location of the fatal bullets. They might investigate, the governor might investigate the Nazi party in Riverside, California, where our Attorney General Demikian is saying that this is a source of terrorism. They're admitting that terrorism on the right is a threat. They can't finger any left terrorism that's a threat. But now, lately, they're talking about the Klan and the Nazis and the Croatians and so forth, Alpha 66, the Anti-Castro Cubans. They may do an in-depth study into the Nazi party in Riverside and find if, in fact, this alleged assassin of Robert Kennedy is the organizer of the Nazi party out in Riverside, or if he lives there, what he's doing. The attorney that is mentioned in this story by this man, Mr. Wilson, who was with Sirhan, who I believe would be a provocateur sent from the Los Angeles Police Department and put out in the yard in a cell with Sirhan Sirhan. The attorney that he mentioned, Grant Cooper, was put on the case to represent Sirhan. He told the jury, I didn't come here to tell you my client wasn't guilty. He was. And the trial for Sirhan was delayed because he had a client, John Roselli, of organized crime, who he was representing first in an indictment in a Friars Club affair in Beverly Hills. John Roselli has been named as a possible co-conspirator and assassin of John Kennedy with Carlos Marcello and Santos Trafficante and the time of that Senate Select Committee, the House hearings rather on John Kennedy's assassination. Roselli was cut up and put in a drum outside of Florida and sunk, and then his body surfaced again. He was murdered. Well, Grant Cooper represented John Roselli, an organized crime figure that had been mentioned in the murder of John Kennedy, and that was the attorney, Grant Cooper, went right from Roselli to Sirhan Sirhan and took that case and told the jury his client was guilty. I don't believe that Sirhan would talk about killing Ted Kennedy. He was offered asylum in Libya with Gaddafi. He has been a straight-A student. I have no love for a person who kills Robert Kennedy, a senator, or for anybody else. But I don't believe he killed anybody. I think he got a lot of bullets off in the Ambassador Hotel, and there's other people that know the same story, and I've done other programs on it. And I think there's a lot of investigation to be done into why they're afraid to let Sirhan out at any time, because he's so closely linked to the California politicians, to Chief of Police Ed Davis, who was the Los Angeles police chief at the time, and he's now senator in California, to Evel Younger, his real name is Evel, of course, with his military, FBI, Defense Department links. He was the district attorney who prosecuted the case, who wants to be on the Supreme Court or the director of the FBI someday. The California elite, Ronald Reagan, as governor of California, Mayor Sam Yorty, who was always in the wings waiting for another job, the whole clique of California politicians that covered this up and were part of the murder of Robert Kennedy in California are moving up in the scale because they're part of the Reagan entourage. I warned many listeners for years and years about the Reagan group and the Hoover Institute and the advisors that would be getting into power if Ronald Reagan was president. We had 8 years of that man as governor of California. And the entourage of the police and law enforcement around Ronald Reagan is as mean and tough as the way he handled the air control group. The strikers said or voiced the opinion that they realized he was so tough, they might have taken a different stance and moved differently. Well, there was no reason for them not to know he was. He was out here when the COINTEL program was going, when he worked with the FBI and CIA to steal from Cesar Chavez's office and Saul Alinsky's home to break in there and take things out of his bag and to smear his reputation, the labor organizer and leader. Ronald Reagan was behind the Mind Control Center and experimentations in the California hospitals and the creation of these zombies and prison riots. The average person in America doesn't know Mean until they've had Reagan for a while. This is only 6 or 7 months. And he never was nice, and because he was sold by the advertising agents, such as J. Walter Thompson and other PR jobs, and he always has this great big smile and his jelly beans, the real police state has yet to swing into action, and they're saving their tough buns for future action. And I just got an article this week about portable jails that have been built that they're installing because they can put them up very quickly. The jails are overcrowded, so they've built portable jails, and they have portable morgues trucks. The morgues in Miami are too crowded. There's too much violence and too many refugees, so they're using ICE trucks for portable morgues and portable jails. So don't think they'll run out of space to put people, and it's very, very important for the future of law enforcement in this country to zoom in to the Sirhan case. That's why the House Select Committee on Assassinations only went into the story of John Kennedy's assassination and stopped at the level of organized crime and said there was a conspiracy instead of going into the real Pentagon, the CIA, the Navy intelligence, the Nazi connections to the killing of John Kennedy. And they went into Martin Luther King's assassination and said there was a conspiracy, cutting it off at possible organized crime and not asking who, closing with a conspiracy finale but never saying who or how. But the reason they wouldn't touch the Robert Kennedy assassination was that the California people are in the White House, and that's the difference. And they will be your people. They will be your police, law enforcement, your senators, not only in California, but the disease, it's worse than the medfly. The politics of California and the California mentality that came out of here is a social disease, and it has traveled. And if the Sirhan case were to be nipped in the bud, it would affect all of you differently if it were opened up. And that's why it hasn't been opened up, because Ronald Reagan and Yorty and Ed Davis and these other people have to keep working higher and higher, just like Goering and Goebbels and Himmler. Where were they when Hitler in 1933 was working into office? If anybody had stopped those men for all the illegal things they did as they got into power, Hitler couldn't have been such a terror. Finally, when he invaded Poland in 1939 and had sabotaged all the countries around him with the Fifth Column and taken over Europe with the torture and the refugees and the murders and the bombings, if people had watched those underlings, so-called underlings, for years, because they worked up through murders, crimes, blackmail, and so forth, firing decent people, kicking them out of universities, locking up people who hadn't committed crimes, letting out people who had committed crimes. This team that was involved around the Robert Kennedy assassination has to keep Sirhan in, because if he gets out to Libya alive, then Gaddafi not only blackmails us 100 times over with what he knows from Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple and George Corcola and Carlos the Jackal, all CIA people around him. If Sirhan gets there, then they control the United States through blackmail, because information is power, and there's no way they can let Sirhan out of this country alive. And as far as the Robert Kaiser, he's supposed to have said he wanted to kill. Kaiser wrote a book, RFK Must Die, and it's like the famous Lee Harvey Oswald diary or the incriminating letters that are always left behind by these lone assassins. The whole book you could throw out, because you start from the very beginning. How many bullets were in the Ambassador Hotel? Where did the bullets go? Which were the fatal bullets? Who else was shot? Why did they cut off the sleeve of Robert Kennedy? Who took the ceiling panel? Who threw away Sirhan's gun? Who mismanaged the physical evidence of the murder of Senator Robert Kennedy? If you solve that, you'd save yourself future problems across the country. But most people aren't smart enough to do that. They don't care enough. So, unfortunately, they're going to have to pay the penalty of living with these criminals moving up. If you want past cassettes on Robert Kennedy assassination, and Sirhan Sirhan. I did one this June the 6th, 1977. That was 4 years ago. But that cassette is still available. Tape 272 on hypnosis, mind control, the erasing of the mind by the CIA, Sirhan Sirhan, the victim of the CIA plots. And June the 13th, 1977, tape 273. I had Dr. Edward Simpson Callis on the program with me. And if you want that cassette, you'll hear him. He was the head psychologist at San Quentin when Sirhan was sent there. He expected a mental vegetable and found somebody very bright and responsive and knew he was under mind control. And when Sirhan trusted this psychologist, he was told not to see Sirhan anymore, and he left San Quentin being the psychologist there. And he lives here on the Monterey Peninsula, and probably was the first psychologist to handle a case like this, who, even though he had contacts and still has with the government inside and out, was honest enough to break this case and ask for the trial transcript and realize that Sirhan had been programmed to be told by Dr. Bernard Diamond how he had killed Robert Kennedy when he hadn't done it. Tape 277, July the 7th, 1977. I did a program on Lillian Castellano and the Robert Kennedy assassination, and then another part two a week later, July 1977, just 4 years ago, Dr. Joling and the cover-up in Los Angeles of the Robert Kennedy assassination. And then I did a last one on with Lillian Castellano, passed away February 19th, 1978. And I did a program on the researchers, John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy assassination, the researchers, and on Ed Davis, chief of police in Los Angeles, who's now a California senator, and Evel Younger, and so forth. So there are past cassettes, if you really want to study this story, that you can get. Another story in the news this week, man in coffin is not Oswald. Marina Oswald is very frustrated that she is not allowed to have the coffin exhumed. She's seen pictures that have now put over the wire service of a man in a coffin that is not Lee Harvey Oswald. It's a sickening picture of somebody who almost has David Ferry's eyebrows, if you know what those look like. And a policeman, a freelance writer, Jim Mars, got a hold of some pictures that were taken, unauthorized snapshots by a retired police official who has shown them to Marina Oswald, and she says that she knows that is not her husband. I've talked with Marina, and I think I've mentioned on the program before, she wanted to help you listeners raise $13,000 to exhume the body. I don't know the people who have that kind of money, but even if we all went in debt to do it and had the money and said, now it can be done, the government would stop and say, no, that's our property. So they may as well pay for it because they would grab the right to examine it and national security to hush it up. There's no way to believe that with people like Gerald Ford making millions of dollars as a lawyer on multinational corporations and on the Warren Commission, who lied about Lee Harvey Oswald and who knew the body was cremated and the identity didn't match, the Secret Service had discrepancy in height as against the FBI report, there's a difference in weight. Even in the Dallas jail, there were two different men that I've charted out, two different measurements, descriptions, and one was buried and one got away. And before the Warren Commission had one witness called, Marina Oswald as their first witness, they had ordered the cremation of the body, and she was scared. She thought she would be deported. She didn't speak much English. We're talking about 17 years ago, 18 years ago, 1963. So she signed a piece of paper and knew that whoever was in there was cremated. Now, she knows that in June of 1963 that Lee got a separate passport, that she had one passport and that he had another. She knew that they were going to go separate ways. He left her a letter after John Kennedy was killed on where the keys were to the safe deposit or the belongings at the bank. They had personal belongings. She left information for him that was brought to her by the Secret Service of get rid of my personal possessions and my clothes, but keep some important papers and save them for me. So she knew that he had some plans because there were detailed instructions of what to do that were delivered to her. And they did have separate passports, and she signed a paper for whoever was in that coffin to be cremated. Now, I think it's important to bring that body out, and if that body isn't there and isn't Lee Harvey Oswald, I know, and I believe I know where he went. I've done 17 years of research on it, and I have the outline ready to roll for a book on the subject, and I think it's very important to get to that and find out if the grave is empty. And we know who ordered it, Chief Justice Earl Warren, and as I say, Gerald Ford is alive, Nicholas Katzenbach, the Deputy Attorney General at the time, is alive. He's a member of a huge corporation, represents them and many firms. They're very prominent people making decisions for us today who are part of this subterfuge, and they should be put on the line and account to us for the kind of shenanigans they're pulling. This party that wrote from Santa Cruz and said he can't believe all these things are going on, isn't it a little difficult for a widow, a famous widow, for Marina Oswald, to ask that a grave be opened up because she knows that the man that is supposed to be her husband is not in that grave? That alone is enough to whet people's imaginations on, as I say, the shenanigans that go on. I mentioned last week Carlos Marcello was indicted in the trial down in New Orleans on various charges. Most of them were dropped. And that his friend Irv Davidson, who was also indicted with him, got off on the charges. They were released. And I said that Irv Davidson was too important a person to ever be indicted. He was indicted but not convicted. They were both arrested, but Irv Davidson could never get a conviction. And I looked up the sheet in 1980, April the 11th, 1980, that's a year and a half, almost a year and a half ago, tape number 436. I refer to these so that those of you that have the past tapes can look it up, and those of you who don't have might want to order them. I talked about the Ab scam and the Bri Lab arrests at the time. And behind the schemes I mentioned on that tape, lobbyist Irv Davidson bumps into Bri Lab. He was picked up in Bri Lab. And Irv Davidson said at that time, this was in the Washington Post, April 2nd, 1980, he said, if I get knocked out of the box, in this case he told the FBI when he was arrested on these various charges with Carlos Marcello, it's going to hurt this country. Sometimes, this was Irv Davidson, sometimes the interest of the United States require certain things which, because of their shaky nature, cannot be identified with the United States. I told the FBI, when they started to arrest him, not to play super agent with me. I have two passports. I'm dealing with National Security Council day and night. Now, Irv Davidson had an office in Washington, D.C., and he rented his space to Drew Pearson and Jack Anderson. Jack Anderson has been writing a new series of articles that are absolutely outrageous and ridiculous, and I want to go into some of those with you because he is truly a double agent. He acts like he's coming out with some wonderful material, and then whammo, he's a series of disinformation, contorted information, and I really would like to take on why he limits what he says to certain parts of the political exposures and then covers up the rest so smoothly. And he's consistent in the people that he protects. The Irv Davidson office space that he rented to Jack Anderson and Drew Pearson, he's still close to Jack Anderson, who always put down these conspiracies. And Irv Davidson worked with Carlos Marcello, who G. Robert Blakey said or hinted was part of the conspiracy to kill John Kennedy. He loaned Clint Murchison, the oil man, $4 million and introduced Murchison to Jimmy Hoffa. Hoffa has been linked to the murder of John Kennedy and Clint Murchison also. Penn Jones describes in his book, Forgive My Grief, the meeting at Clint Murchison's home the night that before John Kennedy was killed with J. Edgar Hoover and Richard Nixon and the final go-ahead to kill John Kennedy. That was in the home of Clint Murchison, described in Penn Jones' Forgive My Grief, Volume 3 in 1969. And in the Hoffa Wars, it tells the relationship of Jimmy Hoffa and the CIA. And there are many documents and books describing Irv Davidson as, in quotes, an expediter from the War Production Board with a web of contacts. Now, he came right out and said, I'm dealing with the National Security Council night and day, and if I get knocked out, it'll hurt the country, and then you better not step on me because there's things that cannot be identified with the United States. And, of course, one of those is the fact that the United States kills its own presidents. So I knew he wouldn't get convicted in this case. He was indicted but not convicted. There's another article about Carlos Marcello in the Dallas Morning newspaper, the Dallas Morning News, July 22nd. Marcello, this is the organized crime figure, a friend of Davidson's and Hoffa's, and a whole group that were linked to the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. Marcello sought oil for his friend. This comes out of New Orleans, that Carlos Marcello, the mob boss, tried to find Saudi Arabian crude oil last year for his good friend and multimillionaire broker, Robert Sutton of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, isn't it ridiculous? A meeting set up January 26, 1980, with Carlos Marcello working with large and wealthy oil men. How is he going to go out and find crude oil for the top millionaire oil people in the country? He was involved, this particular person that he was meeting was allegedly involved in a multi-company daisy chain with oil scandals and so forth. And this particular Anderson that was working with Robert Sutton of Tulsa, Oklahoma, this Robert Anderson, who was to make the introductions, was a former U.S. Treasury Secretary and New York investment banker in an attempt to find oil for Sutton, Robert Sutton, to buy. Now, the possible link of Robert Anderson, U.S. Treasury Secretary and New York investment banker, to Robert B. Sutton of Tulsa, Oklahoma, oil millionaire in Arabian oil, and Carlos Marcello, is just one more example of the multinational corporations webbed into organized crime. You know that they didn't get together, Marcello and that gang, to find oil. It had something more to do with jobs they performed in the past, and I don't think Marcello is out digging up crude oil for these multimillionaires. They have contacts, they have meetings, they're important government officials, but they shouldn't have any links with the organized crime figures at all. But as the paper said last week, unhappy millionaire Marcello is a millionaire himself, and this web of the mob and the oil companies and the multimillionaires in the Defense Department and in the various government programs is so interwoven, like Irv Davidson with Jimmy Hoffa and Carlos Marcello, that, and the oil people and former public servants, that it's just thoroughly disgusting. And the web of conspiracy does indeed exist. And if you haven't heard this program too often, you'll get the idea after a few weeks or months that there are many conspiracies going on. But unfortunately, they do, or fortunately, do weave and tangle with each other. Don't forget, a conspiracy is two or more people doing an illegal act, and every week I talk about 200 who are acting illegally and weaving with each other. Jack Anderson had an article last week, Carter's Kidnap Plot, and it goes into how Jimmy Carter planned to kidnap Robert Vesco and bring him to this country, and the FBI Director Webster, and they were going to this great kidnapping program from the Bahamas to Florida. But Jack Anderson went down to Bahamas at Nassau and talked with Vesco, and Jimmy Carter got wind that Jack Anderson knew he was going to kidnap him, and he says Jimmy Carter interrupted the Camp David conferences, and even though he's not a subscriber to my column, a mysterious note was delivered that Jack Anderson knows you're going to kidnap Robert Vesco. I don't believe half of this BS. I think it is so ridiculous. We have a director of the CIA who is paid by Robert Vesco. Robert Vesco works with people involved with Murder Incorporated, like Frank Turple and Edwin Wilson and George Coricola. He's an international wheeler and dealer who takes hundreds of millions of dollars, skips out, has worked with the CIA, with Edward Bennett Williams, the attorney whose office is representing John Hinckley Jr., the man who shot Ronald Reagan and three others and almost killed them. Vesco is an international wheeler and dealer that had more links to Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon and Bebe Rexha and the whole Republican Party than ever with Jimmy Carter and the Democrats. And this Jack Anderson just goes on and on every week. He'll do the same column over and over. He doesn't do columns on Project Paperclip or Nazis in this country as often as he gets on Jimmy Carter and Vesco. He's like a broken record. I'm going to take a one-minute break, and we'll get back on some other important stories of the week.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.